The darkness has no power over this light, and how true that is. So what John is telling us, that we know already that what's the most important entity, light or dark, lightness, the concept of light is the most important power in our world today. So let me give you a joke. This is one of those groaner jokes you can groan when it's done. You at Facebook Land can groan on your little emojis. So God created light and dark, and after 24 hours, God sat back. And one of the angels said, "What are you going to do now, God? You have 24 hours of light, darkness. What are we going to do?" God put his hands behind his head and said, "I think I'll call it a day." Good, I'm glad you got that. I was worried. Oh my goodness, one of those jokes that you're like, "Oh, I got that," 8 hours later, right? Okay. If you didn't get it in Facebook Land, type out, "I didn't get it," and I'll explain it. Okay. But this is just a joke to lighten your mood. Get it? Yeah, okay. All right. Or lighten your day, whichever way you look at it. John entered into this discussion, what's the most powerful force in the world today, to highlight the fact we're to strive for the light. Never strive for something that's not more powerful. Always go for something that can change your life. And that's what light does. DC Talk, which was a Christian band, all three of them broke up and they went out and started new bands, had a song titled In the Light. And here's the chorus. It goes, "I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens. O Lord, be my light and be my salvation, because all I want is to be in the light." So to highlight the fact, in our world today, which force are you going to choose to make as the primary force of your life as to how you live? Is it going to be light or is it going to be darkness? What the Apostle John said is who you choose is how you live. That's what these verses I read today said. Who you choose is how you will live. The reason why I wrote this is because surrounding the church at this portion of the history of Christianity, remember, it's a very, very young religion. A group rose up. They were called the Gnostics. That's a Greek word for knowing, made into a noun form. And they rose up and said, in order to follow God, find Jesus, you have to have special knowledge. So the word gnosis means knowledge. And they're saying, we have that special knowledge. You see what they're doing? They're making it complex to find God. They're saying Jesus wasn't enough. As Matthew showed in the children's sermon, Jesus is what we need to know about God because Jesus is God. And so the Gnostics rose up and said, no, we've got the secret. Don't listen to those apostle guys. Don't listen to that Jesus guy. We've got the answer. So John writes this letter, 1 and 2. 3 was written for a different reason. He writes these two letters in order to highlight the fact there is no special knowledge to know God. One of the special knowledges that the Gnostics lifted up was that sin cannot affect you. Did you hear that? Sin has no effect on you. You can sin boldly, and that's okay, as long as you have the right words. As long as you have the right, thoughts. Sin cannot affect you. Interestingly enough, this is what John was attacking. That sin's not an illusion. Sin is real. Sin is damaging. Sin separates. Here's how John addressed it in the verses we shared today. This is verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with God, yet we walk in the darkness, we lie. Here John's being really blunt. And then he continued. And we are not practicing the truth. Notice he's writing against someone who says, we have the truth, we have great knowledge. John says, oh, no. Sin cannot lead you to God. Sin affects us deeply. Paul said the same thing over in Romans, in chapter 6. Paul said, should we continue in sin so that grace may abound? He said, may it never be. How can we, who have died to sin, still live in it? John and Paul are highlighting that same idea, that same theology, that sin is damaging. And light and dark, God and sin, cannot exist together. Sin is impurity. God is purity. Sin is unholiness. God is holiness. They cannot exist together. John highlighted this with light. Light and darkness cannot exist together. You light a light, darkness disappears. So the bad theology that existed then comes into our modern day time as well, sadly, saying that sin doesn't affect us. But Jesus said, of course it does. We live as a unified whole. We're united as mind, soul, body, and strength. And if you doubt this, if you doubt that when one is hurt, the other three are hurt, you get the flu. Okay? Remember when you had the flu? What does it do to you? You're in bed, right? So what happened to you physically affected all the other things. Even if you had a test that day, you're like, oh my goodness, I got the flu. You know, you have to make dinner. I got the flu. I'm laying in bed. So one body part that starts to break down affects the other three. How about the fact that as you get older, where I am now, it's amazing. My body doesn't do what it used to do. I am physically not able to do the same things I did 30 years ago when I was like two. Give or take, right? Give or take 30 years. But that's an idea. Once again, my strength is failing and the rest of the body parts aren't the same way. Your mind's distracted with a problem. You have someone who told you a sad news. You have a loved one who is playing with your mind. It's harder to focus on the things at hand. Sin does affect us. It does ripple out into the other parts of who we are. Also, if a person's engaged in sin, they're less likely to go to church. They're less likely to pray. They're less likely to read their Bible. They will not honor the relationships around them because sin destroys. That's what John sought to highlight for us. He wanted to correct that heresy out there, that bad theology, at the same time give us the power, the knowledge, the strength to do what is right when we call ourselves a Christian. You see, sin gets in the way. It gets in the way of us serving others because we're only looking at ourselves. It gets in the way of us serving God because, after all, I'm tired, I don't want to read my Bible, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, because we're only serving one entity, and that's me. And so that's why John was saying, wait a second, let's put the brakes on this and realize we live in a world of light as Christians. And darkness, we need to keep pushing out. We need to have the light continue to shine brightly into the areas of our life so that sin gets pushed farther and farther and farther out of who we are and what we do. And the relationships we have, not only vertical with God, but horizontal with each other. And in order to do this, God provided a means where we could reset. Say we make a mistake. God provided a means we can reset who we are and reclaim the light. That's called forgiveness. And John put that here in his good theology in these six verses that I read earlier. In order to remove the stain of sin, which is the power of our lives, to remove who it has claimed us to be, to restore us, we have the ability to be forgiven. We simply have to be humble enough to ask for it, to admit we've sinned. And then God says, yep, wipe the clean. That's the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. That then we can live out the four areas because we've been restored to who God has called us to be, to live in the light. That's power. You know, light has power. Light's the fastest entity we know in the world today. In fact, let me give you an idea. The speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. It can go around the earth. Get this. 7.5 times in 1 second. It's pretty fast, right? That's pretty powerful. But that's only the physical representation of light. What's the emotional and spiritual representation of light? Roy Bennett, who wrote Bright's Commentaries, said, learn to light a candle in the darkest moments of someone's life. Be the light that helps others see. It is what gives life its deepest significance. So light has the power to speak life into another person's soul. That's why in this first chapter, John paired up the word of life and God is light. When you speak light into a person's soul, you give them life. There's power in that. So how do we do this? How do we shine like the stars in the heavens? Realize one important thing. You were put on this earth to brighten another person's day. I hope you realize that. That's your purpose. It's to brighten another person's day. Now, think about how many people you meet in the course of a day. That's a lot of opportunities to shine your light. And it may be very focused, may be very intent on one person, or it may be you meet multiple people and you can shine your light with the good words that God has given to you. So in other words, let's encourage instead of put down. Our world's good at putting down. Our world's good that if you have a different opinion, let's tear you apart. Let's encourage. Let's lift each other up. Let's be responsible for saying good, for speaking it into our world today. And when we do that, life is changed. Now, I was looking for an ending story to this, and you know what? Sometimes we complain a lot about Facebook, but there was someone who put a song on Facebook about being a light. It's written by Thomas Rhett, and I thought, this is perfect, because it speaks about us sharing the light God has given to us to brighten the world around us. I'm just going to read you a couple of the stanzas. It says, in a time full of war, be peace. In a time full of doubt, just believe. Yeah, there ain't much difference between you and me. When you do somebody wrong, make it right. Don't hide in the dark. You were born to shine. In a world full of hate, be a light. In a place that needs change, make a difference. In a time full of noise, just listen. Because life is but a breeze, we better live it. When you do somebody wrong, certainly make it right. Don't hide in the dark. You were born to shine. In a world full of hate, be a light. Yeah, you only get one go around because the finish line is 6 feet in the ground. In a race you can't win, just slow it down. In a world full of hate, be a light. Now, I don't do the song justice because I don't sing, but the words are powerful. You have a choice. Once again, there's a dualism that exists. Are we going to be light or not? If we say we're a Christian, we've already made that choice. We say we follow Jesus Christ, we've already made that choice. So speak light into a person's life. Let's go to God in prayer. We gather, Lord God, to be your people. We gather to announce to the world that light shines. Specifically, your light shines. Allow it to shine through us. Jesus made that very clear. We are now the light in the world. He was here for a time. He was here for a moment. Now it's our responsibility to carry the light of Jesus Christ to those places that so desperately need it. May we live it, Lord God. Thank you for this time we live in now. There's such a need for light. Thank you that you call us to be the ones who shine. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.